part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
All right. So last week, Sunday, we started out a conversation about the great controversy and the notion of good and evil. The pastor went through great lengths. Yeah, he really did, to show the express of God as a good deity who acts out of love, and something that is quite an anomaly for people. We struggle to understand that. Because the most difficult relationship between human beings and God is, how is it that, you know, God also sets boundaries, and contrary to popular belief, there are expectations for behavior, and failure to do so inevitably leads to death, not because he wants you to die, but because, I think the pastor's analogy that he gave is, when you move away from him, it's like you are walking away from the oxygen tank, and therefore death becomes inevitable. Muruti, I would like us to start from there. I really enjoyed last week's conversation, and everyone can get it, by the way, on our iono.fm or on our podcasts, or you'll look for The Great Controversy, and you can also get it on Facebook or on YouTube under the SID Media playlists, live playlists. That's where you can listen to that conversation. I loved the way you handled that one, Pastor, because it's...
Thank you very much, Malik, for the compliment, and good morning, our listeners and viewers. May God bless you as we unpack the other points in this particular topic of the great controversy.
And today, Pastor, I want us to perhaps begin with something about Lucifer, right? We now know him as Satan, but the light bearer, eish, is that a misunderstanding? Has he accomplished being a light bearer on earth since he was cast down here?
You know what? Thank you for that question. You know, many people who admire Lucifer as light bearer actually misunderstand both the meaning of the name and the actual results of his rebellion on earth. And when we look at it, Lucifer's name does not indicate divine light. Lucifer's name simply means the shining one or the morning star.
Okay.
And when I was going through a research on this, this just explains what is written in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, which describes him as a fallen tyranny king, and using this cosmic imagery, which implied to Satan, because of the parallels of pride, rebellion, and downfall, because they are looking at these things, these components that were found in him. And when we look at the history in the Near East, or we see that kings were often described with star language. It was never a title of deity. It was just a poetic symbol of prominence. So when Lucifer is described in scripture, in that particular writing, when Isaiah was writing, that was poetic, and linking it up with a particular culture in the Near East. So what we should know is that Lucifer did not bring any enlightenment at all, but only deception. And we find this in John chapter 8, verse 44, which says, he is a liar and a father of lies. So if God recognized him as a light, as depicted by some who see him as as an enlightening being, why then God tell us in advance, but be careful of this one. He's a liar. He's not only a liar, but he's a father of lies. Then Revelation 12:7-9 says he led a cosmic, the whole world into a cosmic battle, a rebellion, and that led him to an outcast. So from that understanding, a biblical understanding, and even when you go back to the Genesis account, where he actually led us into sin by coming to our mother Eve and saying, did God say you mustn't eat? Then we see his whole deception component, him coming through a snake and not him coming walking on his 2 feet. So this can then give us a clear picture that this man was not really a man whom we should look up to for anything.
Sure.
Because he is one man who exalts himself and masquerades freedom, but he doesn't bring us freedom. He claimed God's law restricted beings, but this all culminated into the great controversy, which reveals his inner rebellion, which brought only nothing else but misery and death to this earth. And now I think you can agree with me, Millie. Mm. This world is not in a good space because of this particular man. People are dying.
Mm.
We have children suffering, wars all over the world, only because this man brought a false teaching to the humanity. He introduced false teachings in the garden when he said, "You shall not surely die," and we are dying. But this is what he says in the garden. So he cannot be a man who brings light into the world.
Yeah. You know what's difficult is, I guess, I think that his mission is quite successful because because most people believe the deception. And even us who believe in God, sometimes we struggle. We blame God, you know, like, yeah, but it's God's fault for creating him, or it's God's fault for not giving us enough power, you know?
Mm-hmm. I was saying, do you know what? All that Luther tries to do, even in religion, is that full Sabbath brings his own Sabbath. That's why the world is so confused. Even with Christ being the true light, according to chapter 1, verse 9, Christ is actually the true light that enlightens every person. Then right now, you find out that he is the one that is then said to be the one who illuminates people. He brings knowledge. He brings understanding into people. But he is not the true light. Satan himself, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, he transforms himself into an angel of light only to deceive. So this is what we need to know, that yes, there are people who misunderstand the message in Isaiah and then think he's the light. But here the Bible says that only Christ is the true light. And the only thing that the devil is able to do is to disguise himself and makes himself look like an angel of light, but his purpose is not pure, like you have said. When he comes through, he's bringing a purpose only to deceive and to bring a downfall on people.
So have you met people? I know people who strongly believe in like the yin-yang theory, that there is both good and evil in everyone. And if we are created in God's image, there's good and evil in God as well. How do we, how do you like speak, if you had to be a spokesperson for God, how would you, in a conversation with someone who holds such a viewpoint, share that might not necessarily be true, that good and evil have to always coexist?
Good and evil coexisting in the world, as in the battle between good and evil. But not that in God there is also good and evil. God is actually the true light. In him there is no darkness. He is only light. That's why even when we speak in the person of God in the person of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he is what? He is light himself. So in him there is no darkness. There is only light. But in the devil himself, there is only darkness.
Which is the other problem, right, Muruti Chambe, is we are all indoctrinated into a belief system. And it's easy to believe that which you have been exposed to or that which aligns with your spirit. And like even the way you're speaking, right, you're speaking from a position of you. It sounds factual. But for someone on the other side, your position are just opinions. There's no hardcore proof that God is good and that the devil is bad, but for what you have read in the Bible and you now believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an issue a lot of times, whether we are having conversations about different types of religions or whatever philosophies and ideologies that exist in the world. And even why, you know, we still have Pharisaical tendencies where some people will come up with rules to try and create a Puritan culture. When other people don't live according to those rules, then you kind of like ostracize them for not being according to you what is pure, what is holy. Because that's all in your mind. It's what your heart chooses to believe.
Actually, you know what, with the issues of faith, really, they have to do with, it's basically faith, where you believe something. But for us to look for facts on issues of faith, it would be actually a futile effort to try and find. I know we are living in a world of science where people try to prove, okay, you say this is equal to this, so let's prove it. But just like so many things, you can't prove everything in this world. There are things, especially things of faith, must be taken with faith.
Mm.
And, well, this world has come into existence in a beautiful design and everything looking so beautifully. Obviously, there's a designer, and looking at how beautiful everything looks and how nice it is, It obviously the designer has had a good mind in him coming up with this whole world and this beautiful design. I've gone to different places. You see the seas, how good they look without any human being having tampered with it. Or you can see even in nature, you can see the beauty and the love of God in even how he shaped the fish, the animals in the field. You can see the touch of a beautiful God who loves. So now when the Bible explains such things and we link it with nature, we're able to see even those things that even nature cannot prove itself. Even the scientists cannot prove themselves. Even right now when we study, they're still discovering the space and saying, oh, we've discovered. They keep getting mesmerized and excited at the things that God has made, which means, really, can scientists prove what God has made, or God proves science? Because scientists keep on discovering and being excited at things that they never made, that they never thought of. How can the created prove the creator? I think people, human beings, need to get to a place where they say, this is my place, this is where I end. And the devil himself thrives in this deception that we feel like we are the kind of people who are discovering these things and excited. And now we want to prove God. Yet God made these things, and we are discovering the hidden things of God that he created in this world. And we cannot prove God because God is all-knowing and all-powerful.
What do you think of people who, when they speak, they don't use the word God, they use the universe? What do you think of that?
Well, I've found it quite interesting. I've preferred to call God by God as God, and this is what we find in the Bible. But redefining the name of God into the universe, I haven't really started to know what does the universe mean as people do. But I think this could be just like any other deception that the devil brings to try and change a little bit about in terms of defining who God is and what he is called. But I think it's safer to remain calling God, God, Yahweh. He's got other names that are there in the Bible. There's so many. I think we can stick to those than to give God such names.
Okay, I'm asking because I've been a little, not too much, exposed to hearing that kind of language, and I'm going to share maybe other semantics, maybe. You see, the thing is, yeah, the earphones don't want to stay on. These things are, these things work for certain people. Like, they literally work. You hear, you know, the universe is showing you that this thing is not for you, my sister. Let it go. Or you hear someone say, guys, protect your energy. Protect your energy. When someone does this, you need to realize that, no, this is now you needing to cut, okay, I'll use the word boundaries, because your energy is very important. It's sacred. Like, this is language that people use, okay? Your energy is important. It is sacred. And then with about women, they'll talk about, you need to understand your divine nature. Something else would be when people say, guys, learn to manifest. Learn to manifest. And when you look at these people who use the, all this language and stuff, their lives, I'm like, you literally see horne haibo. This person, you know what they say? What are your New Year's resolutions? And then we all say, I wanna. They literally go out of their way to create their New Year's resolutions on visual cards and all these beautiful things. Paste, what do you want in 2026? And by the end of the year, you see things happening for these people. These are the kinds of I don't know if it's rituals, but this is a language that they have fallen into, you know, all these examples that I was just giving. And to me and you, it might sound like maybe it's weird, or but people believe these things and shame, it works for them. We're talking about the great controversy. Do you think there's a great controversy in that, or sometimes it's just, it's synonyms, you know, it's just, it's synonyms. You pray, she manifests. Defanayo kind of thing. I don't know. What's your take?
You know, what I want to say first is that before I get deep into the question that you're asking me, it is one thing that the devil always wanted to do, even in the garden, is to distort God's character, distort God's truth, replace Christ. Because if one reads the book of Isaiah, he says, I want to rise. I want to be like he. He really wanted to be God. He wanted the dominion of God. He wanted all the honor, all the glory. So right now, when you the newer generation coming up with all those, you notice that if there's one thing that is very, very common, your energy, your myself, my, you can see the selfish component of the devil being resurrected in us to say, when I do things, I must know that I use my energy. It's about me. It's about, then you define, you redefine God. You say he's the universe. He's no longer God. And this is all coming not from the Christian space, but from the non-Christian space where they want us to replace the God that we worship into something else, which I think is not exactly what the Bible would have. If God wanted us to call him the universe, I'm sure would have found it in the Bible written that you can also call him the universe. You can also call him that. But we find clearly in the Bible that he is God, he's Yahweh, he's Jireh, he's God. He's got other names in the Bible, but not the universe. Then the constant battle that happens. Yes, we find we may believe in these things in this world and find ourselves succeeding. I want to ask you to know that the devil is also able to give his subjects gifts. He is able to give his subjects, because this is how even the great controversy can happen in our own personal experiences, where when you choose to follow the devil, there are benefits. And when you choose to follow Christ, there are also what? Benefits of following Christ. So you'll notice that in some of us, we need to choose between what is right and wrong. And, daily basis, with every decision, we need to choose to do what is right or wrong. And there's always a pull towards the wrong. And the wrong always seems right. And the right always seems wrong. And the Bible has got a definition for it. When we read the book of Genesis, Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it says that there is a war within our flesh, between the spirit and the flesh. Mm. And this all happens in us. And when we choose between what is right and what is wrong, I want to tell you sometimes we choose what is wrong and it feels right. And I want to tell you sometimes the wrong gives us results. Because this devil is on this earth, is the king of this earth. So being the king of this earth, he's still got the power to reward. He's an angel. And when we read the Bible about angels, I think we know. Angels can do so many things. And when we read a verse up, it says that the devil himself can transform himself into an angel of what? Into an angel of light. Which means that the devil is able to do good things. He's able to give you nice stuff. Things that will make you feel happy. To say these things are nice. I've done wrong. I got a good thing out of it. That is what the devil is able to do. So we need to know that in this life, we need to choose right, even when it doesn't feel right. And we need to continue to follow Christ and do what is right, though there is a war within us. You know, when we want to do the wrong, the wrong feels like it has got these dividends. It will make you feel good, make you look good. It will make you drive a good car. I'm telling you, if you're in South Africa and wherever in the world involved in fraud and doing all those things, you enjoy the benefits of living in a mansion, of driving the most expensive, but you have done it through the wrong means. And these are the rewards that the devil can give you, but they are short-lived. We live not only for this world, but we also live for the world to come. What would it benefit us if we gain the whole world and we lose our own soul? At that point when Christ was fasting, the devil comes to him and say, just take this bread. I know you, this stone, I know you can do it. You are still Christ. You are God in you. You are God yourself. Turn this stone into bread. You are hungry. You've been fasting for days. Try it out. After trying it out, definitely you will gratify the hunger. But this was not Christ was doing. He was on a mission to please God, and he says, man cannot live by bread alone. The things of this earth sometimes look gratifying, but we need to know that we need to please only God. So we need to know that even in this particular world, we're going to face intense temptations that cause us misery. And these are in the areas where God wants us to grow. I remember Jesus telling Peter in the book of Luke that the Satan wants to sift you. And I want people to know that the devil also has got intentions. When he brings the things that he says are good, you know they are wrong. All he wants to do to you is not to bring peace of mind. He wants to sift people. He wants to bring you out of the church. He wants to take you to the places where you will be feeling very miserable. And it will be sometimes difficult for you to come home. Just like the prodigal son, he went out with plenty, but he came back empty-handed. This is the journey that the devil wants to take us. He wants to take us away from God, where he will take us out into the clubs and show us the beauty and the glitz and glam of the club. He wants to show us the lifestyle, the soft life, the beauty in taking alcohol when you're a Christian. But all that he's doing, he's sifting you out of the place where you're supposed to be, to a place where you will laugh and say, I wish I had not started this journey. He wants us to struggle and be in a place where we are not supposed to be, and the way we feel we are struggling. You know what? We struggle with this. Even truth versus lies.
Yeah.
Just saying the truth continuously. The devil wants us to lie at all times. And truth is never comfortable. Lies feel fun when you're saying them. I know for some that have a conscience, they'll feel like they've done wrong a few minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
But most are actually now perfected in this particular trend, because the father of lies is schooling them. So we need to know that Jesus says Satan is the father of lies, and especially lies about God's character and your own worth. That's why we need to know. These are the points that you are raising on our own worth and the name of God. We need to know that the devil actually wants to spread lies It's about the character and the name of God, that we redefine the name of God, that we also redefine our worth to a point that our worth is equivalent to God. We can make decisions for God. We can actually make decisions for ourselves and make ourselves succeed. And also we can redefine God according to our own understanding, or according to our own human understanding, and deviate totally from what the Bible says about God. We need to know, and we need to fight over these things and fight spiritual habits through prayer, mm-hmm. through scripture reading, through worship. Okay. Because the Bible reminds us that this is not a battle between humanity and humanity. This is not a warfare. Mm. We're using guns, but this is a spiritual warfare where it's a fight between God and the devil. So you know what, Mimi? Mm. When I'm talking to you and you shout at me and you say all those bad things, God must help me that I look at you and see that we are in a battle between God and good and evil, and see that this is not you, but this is the devil speaking through you. And be able to differentiate, even in homes, you know, people are struggling in marriages because they are not able to say, no, this is not my wife. This is now the devil speaking through my wife. And I think we can remember the incident when Jesus himself, I don't know, Peter, he was always in trouble with Jesus. He was even told that, get thee behind me, Satan. And Jesus was speaking to who? To Peter. And this Christ was able to see through Peter to say, no, this is Peter speaking. This is the devil speaking through Peter. So there I must rebuke the devil and not rebuke my beloved Peter.
Yeah, but if you say that to your wife, hey, you're calling for it to be quit. Yo, the devil is using you.
I think really what you'd have to do, you need to be a Christian also in your responses. When you notice that your wife is being used by the devil, you can say, get the behind me in your heart. And even say, devil, please don't use my wife in your heart.
But
hug your wife and show her the love and know that it's not her, it's the devil.
Be kind.
Speaking or
be
doing
kind.
Things. And that is what must happen. Even the women, when they look at their husband and they see the great controversy warring in their spaces, even in their children, when children are taking drugs, no one is born with a propensity towards drugs. Everyone is born loving good food, nice stuff. But how come people end up getting into drugs? It's the devil himself getting into the place and introducing people into this particular thing called alcohol, into drugs, into all the evil actions, into who is born a murderer, who is born a thief. No one is born a thief, but the intruder comes into the space, intrudes and brings all these negative things. So we need to know that our loved ones are actually lovely. As the devil, when he comes and settles in, we need to fight the devil and not hate our relatives, and not hate our church members, not hate our pastors, not hate our leadership. Love them. Don't hate our neighbor, that neighbor that's always doing nasty things. Don't hate that neighbor. Deal with the devil in Christ. You deal with the devil in prayer. You deal with the devil through the study of the word. We are in a great controversy. And make sure that in this world, you always study and see, oh, my boss is a good man. But the devil is the one working and bringing these bad accusations upon you, doing certain things to you, and then rebuke the devil in prayer. And the devil will eventually lose the power. Because what the devil expects is when the boss shouts, or when that human being does, you must retaliate and fight. But yet the great controversy demands that when we see the great controversy happening, we kneel down in prayer and remember that, oh, my child is behaving like this because we are in a great controversy.
Man.
Oh, my wife is behaving like this because we are in a great controversy. My neighbor is behaving like this because we are in the battle. This battle is not between me and my child or me and my wife, me and my friend. But this battle is between the devil and Christ. And I can identify the devil in this particular person or in this particular situation. So we must be able to see the hand that is hidden behind a statement, behind a letter that's written to us, behind as an experience in our life with another person, mm-hmm. and be able to rebuke the devil and love the person.
Quite a mouthful that you said, Muruti, and okay, I'm trying to summarize it. Hore. So the great controversy is then this conflict of the mind that happens. Who wants to own your mind? Is it God or is it the devil? And unfortunately, for you to understand the great controversy, first and foremost, you must believe that there is God and that there is the devil. If you don't believe that, then there's no great controversy according to you. Not that that's the reality.
Actually, when you find no great controversy, everything is going perfectly well. You need to be worried. You need to be worried a lot to find that you've got no opposition, no nothing. Everything is going on smooth. You must be worried.
But you know what the what's hard, Pastor Chambe, is, and I think I kind of understand as well why some people get irritated with Christians. Christians can come across as very, extremely annoying, because a person is like, you know, you guys, it's like you always blame external forces for things. When do you take accountability and realize that this is my behavior that has led to A, B, C? There are repercussions for actions. And I feel like I do appreciate people who take accountability and realize that, okay, this is literally an equation. This is going to lead to that. And if you find yourself at the point of that, how do you then undo to rectify? They do make the effort, as opposed to sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, sometimes Christians, ikari, they just sit and, you know, earlier on I was speaking about the 16 days of activism, Eleya violence. And I saw it growing up, Pastor, like where, you know, this woman is being beaten to a pulp by her husband. Yes, lawfully wedded husband. Oh, man of God, uyaculisa every day in Konzweni, like he's there. She's being beaten. You know what the church does? Pray. The elders are praying. Praying for children who see their mother being beaten in a home. I mean, the trauma. She could die at the hands of this evil, cruel man. And that's my issue as well. Prayer is not always enough. I've said this before and people are like, Mulu, how can you say that? But, okay, you can tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay, I think prayer has got a place. You know, when somebody is constantly being abused, yes, I can see the devil working in the person. It's a great controversy, yes. But if I continue to sit down and wait and get beaten and just understand it from the point of the great controversy, I'll die while believing it's a great controversy. I'll die while praying. Prayer is not substitute for action. The actions that are required whenever there is anything that is unbecoming in terms of human behavior, if it's rehabilitation that needs to be taken as an option, that is be considered. If it is, if the person, by doing whatever they are doing, they are offending the law of the land, I know that is assault when somebody is beating another. It's offending the law. I'll pray, I'll forgive you. And I understand it's a great controversy, but you need help from the police. You need help from the rehabilitation center. You need help that you can stop using this particular unacceptable behavior and perpetuating it continuously. I know there are believers who actually do those things. We pray for you. We share some words of encouragement for you. But if it is something that is against the law, I think, and I believe strongly, that even the Bible says that we must submit even to the rule of the land where we live in. So if it is wrong that somebody is beating somebody and it's there in the law of South Africa or of your country, you need also to report it to the authorities to say, here we've got somebody who's always fighting. So it's important, yes, to direct the person biblically and pray, but we also might need to report some issues to the police. You must keep quiet. You must not be beaten in silence. You must not be abused in silence. You must allow also the land, the law of the land, to correct some unacceptable behaviors in our homes, in our communities, in our churches. I think that is very important.
I think so,
but at the same time, the understanding that we are in a great controversy it helps the one that is beating his wife to know that I'm beating my wife, I am doing what is not godly. I am on the wrong side of the great controversy. I need to fight on the side of God. I need to...
I'm laughing because I don't think that's how people who are abusive think. I think they feel like I'm disciplining you. You talk too much or whatever.
No one can discipline anybody by instilling pain. God is a God of love. He doesn't want anyone to suffer pain. So that's why even when we started last week, we covered also a topic where Jesus himself was found at the funeral of Lazarus, and Jesus himself wept. Jesus weeps along with men. Jesus, the pain that men feel when they feel the pain. So imagine you are the husband beating your wife and Jesus is feeling the pain that you're inflicting on your wife. It's not a good space because then it's not what God wants for you to exert your force on someone because they are weak and they cannot retaliate or beat you back. But I want to speak to those that are going through abuse. Please, sisters, please, brothers, in case they are brothers that are getting in the homes, report to the police. Don't be beaten in silence. It's a great controversy between Christ and the devil. But if the devil is exerting himself in that way, please report the devil to the police. He must be arrested. And the devil from the husband must be rehabilitated from the prison cells, and the devil must depart through the force that is applied by the law. I'm sure the law is able to rehabilitate and help. While at home, we're praying that the elder may come back being an elder and not a perpetrator of violence. Because violence is not accepted by God.
Amen.
At all, in any way, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Muruti. This was wholesome. And I think we do have many more conversations to be had in the future. Even more now, I want us to talk about Lucifer and Jesus being siblings next time. So,
but
yes.
Also, what I want to say, when we take our husbands to the police for abuse and all,
yes,
we love them, but we don't love the devil who's beating us in them. So we continue to pray for them, continue to bring them food. We continue to maintain our marriage vows unless they remain the same and they are not rehabilitable, and then we allow them to leave. I'm sure our church manual allows that if it is a situation where it's violence continuously and you are not safe anymore, you are allowed to separate from your husband or wife in that particular space. But we pray that there may be peace and that in this great controversy, we may fight on the winning side of God. You had a last question. I don't know if our time is up.
You want to tackle it? You may go ahead in a minute, Pastor.
We left a minute.
I'm worried about your time.
Yeah.
But I think the question was basically about predestination. Sometimes we love life haphazardly because you were baptized. Therefore, once saved, I'm always saved. And it's almost like sin. Things that we knew as sin become holier or become holy for those people who are now saved, which for me doesn't make sense. You know, you continue living your life anyhow because apparently you've been through water, but there's no difference between you and the person who hasn't been through the water. So that was the idea, the question to say, are we still really all going to the same place?
Or on the issues of predestination.
Yeah.
Actually, this is a huge issue because it touches the heart of God's character. Devil, from the top part, the devil wants to sort of disarm the character of God. And I want to tell you, if God was a God who would predestine people in a specific way, if you are born for hell, you are for hell until you die.
Yeah.
What kind of a God is that? So if God, previously says that before the world was made, God decided that certain individuals would be saved and others would be lost, and that these decrees can't be changed. So if a person is lost, ultimately because God never willed their salvation in the first place, what kind of a God is that? So now the Bible does not use predestination language in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30, in Ephesians chapter 1. But if we look closely, God predestined those he foreknew to be conformed to the image of his son. The focus is not on God deciding you will be saved or you'll be lost, but on God's eternal plan. Do you know what? That all who are in Christ share this destiny of holiness and glory. God himself has predestined even you, me, and every other listener out there, and every other person in the world for salvation.
Amen.
But do we decide for God or against God? So Christ, when he came with a forgiveness for all people. When he died on the cross, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature.
That's right.
If you decide, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, God was pleading with these people. He says, I have set before you life and death. Therefore, choose life. Joshua chapter 24 says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And in the New Testament, First Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, God says he wants all people to be saved, according to First Timothy. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he is not willing that any should perish, any should perish, but that all, so the thing that if God has had his way, his predestination is that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. Idol worshippers should come to repentance. Those that do not believe in God, come to repentance. Those that believe in some ungodly kind of belief system, that they too should come to repentance. So these verses
like that
can give us a clear picture on the kind of predestination we all have in God. That all of us are predestined for what? For salvation.
Amen.
But we choose to perish or we choose to be saved. So when we read also other authors reject this particular thought as harsh and deterministic, and the idea that's brought out also as the predestination of which God speaks include all who accept Christ, and that man's will has been forever set free. So we are free to choose God or against God. So God himself will not override it. Been predestined for salvation. But God, he being all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, he is a God who's capable of changing your will. But he's not converting you into a robot. He will not override your will. But he has predestined you for salvation. Christ came for all. But we need on ourselves then to choose Christ. So other writers give this clear picture that God truly desires everyone's salvation. Christ died for all. This particular Christ, his spirit draws all. But people can resist. Can you imagine, Millie? As people of God, even knowing that God is loving and God wants them to repent, people still refuse to accept Christ. Yet they all, if there is only one predestination they have received, it's a predestination and salvation. Salvation has been opened for all. Salvation has been opened for you. The gate has been left ajar. It has been left ajar for you and me. Christ has left it open. It's your choice to choose the wrong. And in the great controversy, Christ wants you to choose him. When you have been given the power to choose all by yourself, but he has left life there for you, and death there for you. Death is brought through the devil, who said he brought the issue of death because of sin, because of sin brings death. But Christ has brought the gift of life to all who choose him. So it's our choice to connect with the source of power or to connect with the source of death, the devil himself.
So when
we look at the creator of God in the great controversy, we need to choose to have the character of God rather than to have the character of the devil.
Amen.
And his law, his imprint, is the transcript of God's character and his ways of governing. We need not to choose the devil or the devil. That's why we have a problem in the world, where people do not believe even in the law, in the existence of the law of God. And the funny part, they don't believe only in the Sabbath as part of the law of the Lord. But they don't want anyone to take their wives. They don't want anyone to steal from them. This is a battle. The devil says, take 9 out of 10. But 9 out of 10, according to God, it's a fail. So we need to take up the whole transcript of the law of the Lord and live according to it with the power that we get in Christ. I'm happy because God, when Christ was nailed on the cross, he did not only forgive our sins, but he also gave us power to become his children.
Amen.
He gave us power to overcome the propensities that we have that are fleshly, the components of sin that are within us. He gave us power to overcome those, that through him, we may become holy eventually.
Amen.
So Satan accuses God of being arbitrary, controlling, and unfair. A picture of God that says, I created some people for heaven and some for hell. And there is nothing they can do about it. These support the accusations of the devil that he made in the beginning in heaven. So predestination is not a godly, it's not from God. It's not an idea from the God, from our God. On the other hand, when we see that predestination is really about God's plan in Christ, that he has chosen a destiny for all who believe, while genuinely inviting every person, all who believe, that support the biblical picture of God, who is both sovereign and loving, powerful, but deeply respectful of our freedom. So God is very respectful of our freedom. He has predestined us for salvation.
Amen.
But the idea that is in the world is the distorted view of predestination, where we have been predestined for hell. That is the idea from the devil. So we need to know and understand that predestination is not just a side issue. It goes right into the heart of the great controversy. Is God truly love? Does he deal fairly with his creatures? Does he respect the freedom he gave us? So we answer, according to scripture, grounded in the word of God, that we all have been predestined for salvation. Don't make a wrong choice by choosing the devil. Because when you choose the devil, you've chosen eternal death. But when you choose Christ, it is good news, because we can choose Christ even today. I don't know how you've been living your life. You must know that Christ has predestined you as a child of God. As someone who's worth of salvation, not as a drug dealer, not as a drug consumer, not as a violent person, not as a thief, not as a robber. God has predestined you for salvation. John chapter 3, verse 16, we need to choose God, because he has died on the cross. He has laid out his life. He has laid down his life just for you and for me, that we too may inherit, may be partakers of this particular predestination that is positive, that comes from God, a predestination for salvation.
Amen. I love that. We are on a ventilation system, so don't walk away from your oxygen lest you die. Pastor, you've been amazing. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on The Glorious Morning. We look forward to more interactions with you in the future. May you have an amazing Sabbath day rest as you go and feed the other sheep.
Thank you very much, Lindy. Thank you for your time. Thank you very much, listeners and viewers. May God bless you.
Amen.
And we need to move from also into the baptism, as according to Adventist World Radio. May God bless you.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.